Lord, we are in a series called You Were Made for This. Last week, and really the goal of this series is that each one of us, every one of us, every one of us, say that's me.
That's me.
Talking about me, yeah. Every one of us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's interactive, that's sensitive, where we hear God, we respond to God, we sense Him. That's our goal in this series. You were made for this. And last week we talked about how God formed us. He breathed His Spirit in us, that we are spiritual beings first. You're first not a physical being. You're first a spiritual being. And you were made for interaction with God. We looked last week how God sent forth His Son, that you and I can be sons and daughters. Can be sons and daughters. John 1 says that we have the right to become sons and daughters. If we will repent, if we will turn from our will, our way, and accept the finished work of Christ on our behalf. Jesus will come and He'll make His abode, His home in us. Last week we heard that inside of us the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. So God emptied heaven. First, He sent forth His Son to redeem us from sin and ourselves. And then secondly, He sent forth His Spirit so that you might have the experience of God and walking with Him. He sent forth His Son so that you would be His son or His daughter. He sent forth His Spirit that you might know that experientially. So we talked about last week, the spirit of adoption. This is what's wrong with the world. This is a biblical, a gospel worldview that we are sinners in need of a Savior. What's wrong with the world is that you and I have a heart that's broken. It can't be trusted, and we need a new one. Now that doesn't just happen in a moment. Our heart gets reborn, but now we walk out a life of the Spirit in the spirit of sanctification. Now, we got to get this week one right. Because if we don't get this right, we're going to walk into this next couple of weeks thinking, like we're going to talk today about the spirit of sanctification or how to walk by the Spirit. If we don't get this week one right, that you are His by His doing. That Christ opened your eyes to the beauty of the gospel, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that you've committed treason against the divine King, and you need rescuing. You need a new heart. And we are adopted as sons and daughters by grace. We got to get that right, because when we talk about this process of Jesus making you more like Him, if we don't understand who we are, we're going to think that we're going to be sons and daughters through the process. That I can become a child of God because I'm getting better. That's not true. You are better in Christ, and therefore He's given you His Spirit, and you're going to walk that out. Now, next week, we're going to talk about a spirit of outreach, that God is on mission to see His name glorified to the ends of the earth. And we are a part of that. If you have the Spirit of God in you, He is driving you, wooing you, alluring you into His mission. But if you don't know who you are, you think by the mission you'll be right with God. That if I join what God's doing, then He'll accept me. And that's not true. We've got to know week one, I am a son and daughter by His doing. When we repent of our sin, we repent of our self-righteousness. We put our trust in Christ alone, the finished work of Jesus. He changes. We have the Spirit of God. Now, let us pray this morning as we jump into week two, keeping in step with the Spirit. And I just want you right where you are, because here's our goal, is that you would have an interaction with the Holy Spirit, not just this morning, but every morning for the rest of your life, that you encounter God. So let's just take a moment right where you are. If you're at home, right when you're in your living room, at your dinner table, wherever you are, just want you to repeat this prayer. Say, Father, fill me with Your Spirit today. Help me be sensitive to You, hearing Your voice, affirming what is true, giving light to what is false. In Your name, amen. keeping in step with the Spirit. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4, and then I'm going to read Galatians 5. It's a chunk, but that's okay. This is the Bible. This is God's word. We want it to speak to us. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God. How many of y'all asked, what's the will of God? That's not just a college student question. That's an all of us question, right? I got friends and myself. We're 40. We're at, so Lord, what's the will of God for me, right? You might be 80 this morning. God, what's your will for me? Here it is. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And then he goes on to say that you would not act in passionate lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That each one of you will learn how to control his own body in holiness and honor. And then he comes to the end of this kind of dissertation. He says, therefore, whoever rejects this disregards not man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. What is he saying? The Holy Spirit is given to you so that he might walk with you in holiness. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. He's joining you to help you become more like God in your character, in your attitude, in your inner person. Okay, and if we reject this process, we're not rejecting man. We're rejecting God. Now, what is holiness? It's an interesting question, right? Holiness is being set apart for a specific use. I've got a new black stone. This is a propane empowered flat top. It's a griddle. It's beautiful. And you throw oils on it and meats. Sometimes vegetables fall on it sometimes. But you use this thing, and one of our favorite meals on this, my brother introduced me to this, is what's called a smash burger. And you take this piece of meat, and it's in a ball, and you put butter underneath it and on top of it. It's like a meat sandwich. It's not kosher, y'all. Okay. And so you heat up this grill, and then you have this cast iron weighted thing, smasher. Thank you. I don't know what it is, but you heat it up too. You put it on the grill until it's smoking, and then you smash that burger down flat, put pressure on it, and it sears. It gives it almost like a crispiness to the outside. Like when you bite into the burger, it crisps on the outside, and it's beautiful. And so this is my smasher, and I've got a special place for this smasher. Like I wrap it in wax paper and keep it nice. You don't put soap on this thing. This thing is unclean. And you wrap it up, and I don't use this for anything but when I'm using it on this grill. It can't be used for anything else. It's set apart for holy use. It's set apart for a specific purpose. Right, y'all feel me? So if I come out and my son is, hitting a ball with it, he's in trouble, right? That's not what that's meant for. This holy cast iron smasher is not meant for sports. If he's got it inside and he's propping his feet up on it, it's not furniture. It has a specific use. Now, you and I were made for a specific use. We were designed. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, the body was not meant for sexual immorality. The body wasn't designed for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. What a contrast. Sexual immorality, which in our flesh is a great experience in its sensory compartment, right? But our body wasn't meant for it, and in fact, it will destroy us. Just like if I had an iPhone, I can spread butter with my iPhone. I guess we're on a butter theme this morning. Just spread butter. I can hammer a nail with my iPhone. I can dip it in water. That's not what it was designed for. It was designed to communicate, to connect me with the world, to pirate my attention. It's designed for lots of things, right? But it has a purpose, and if we don't use it for that purpose, it will have destructive tendencies. So here, God the Spirit has been put inside of us to help us walk with God. So let's look at what that might look like, Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I love that. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are trying to relate to God by dotting your I's and crossing your T's, trying to fulfill all of everything God said so that God will respond to me, then you've missed it. In fact, the whole letter of Galatians says, who has bewitched you? You started in the Spirit. Why are you trying to be perfected by keeping the rules? This is not about keeping the rules. This is about following the Spirit. The Spirit comes, Christ comes, to fulfill the rules. They're there. But if you'll walk by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And you're led by the flesh, obviously. All right. I warn you as I warned you before that come inside. Sorry. Outside is where you belong. We don't have any toys. There's a rock. There's a stick. And I gave you that ball 2 years ago for Christmas. You play with that, right? Go outside. Now, you can hang on the door and cry, but that's a boring existence. There's much to do, right? And so we're outside. We're walking. And some of the things we do as a family is we go on walks as a family. Does anybody else do that? Y'all go on walks as a family? Any families? Okay. Or bike rides or whatever. So what I've noticed is there are different types of walkers. Y'all notice this? There are different types of walkers. There's the get it done walker. You know, y'all been around these people? Right? I can fall into this category from time to time. It's like, you know, we're walking. Like we're walking for a purpose to get done. Achiever walkers, that's what I call them. Then you got your grumpy walker. Y'all seen these? Like they don't want to walk. So they're mad that they have to walk, and they want everyone else to be miserable on the walk. So they're going to drag, they're going to pout, I'm just theoretically. And these people, whoever they are, they don't like to do it. Then you've got your hippie walker, right? Everything's a tree and everything's a flower. And oh, have you seen this? This is beautiful. Look. At the core of walking is walking, right? I'm just being mindful. I'm soaking in. I'm in the present. Just theoretically, I've heard this before somewhere. All right. You get the talker walker. The only reason they walk is to talk. And they've got a captive audience, right? And they just boom, boom, boom. They're just talking. And you're just thinking like, okay, I think I'm into that mindfulness thing again. Shh, right? I just want to be in the present here. I just put on that. You got the non-conforming walker, right? Where they don't want to walk, they want a rollerblade. Or ride their bike. Or do whatever but walk. Which just means I'm going to carry rollerblades and a bike halfway through, right? That's what that means. Why did I agree, right? Oh, the drag it out walker. This is one of my favorites where it's like, oh, hey, can we go here? Can we go off the path? Can we go through? That's not your yard. Get out of their bush, you know. You can't pick their flowers, you know. You don't know them. Everywhere is always just floating, right? We're always walking. I'm just, from a little bit of experience, I've had these walkers in my life. I'll let you choose which one of my family members those are. Theoretically, someone else's family. What does it feel like? So here we come to this question. What does it feel like to walk by the Spirit? Because we are spiritual beings and we're interacting with the spiritual God. God, His Spirit, living inside of us. If you are a child of God, if you have the Spirit of God, the Bible says, then you are His Son. If you don't have the Spirit, then you're not His son or His daughter. So what does it feel like, we need this, to walk by the Spirit? And so Paul's helping us this morning. Paul's helping us, and this is what it feels like. Number one, walking by the Spirit feels like an internal conflict. Will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Meaning to walk by the Spirit, there's a conflict going on. Can you imagine if you were playing football, and this is how most of us kind of enter in, this is how I entered in, man, I got saved, Jesus changed me, I felt His presence, I can relate to what Sam was saying this morning, like He was speaking to me, I felt Him, He was real. Man, I came down front, I got baptized in this room back there, right in front of that window. And there was this belief that if I did these things, then everything would change. And it did. There was a lens put on. There was a new heart. But not everything changed, did it? And that's what we have to realize, that when we get a new heart, we still have habits, we still have mindsets, we still have beliefs about God that are not consistent with who He is. And this is, we have desires, we have impulses, we have things inside of us that want, you want this, that God hates. You're in internal conflict, you're in a war. Imagine walking on a football field, this is what a lot of Christians do, and then someone hits you, and you're surprised. You tap your helmet, I got to come out. Like, I came on this field and then I was hit. You're playing football. You're going to get hit, right? And we are shocked at what comes out of our hearts. You have things inside. You're in a war from Genesis with Eve and the serpent all the way to Revelation with the woman and the dragon. It's all at war. There's a war going on. You are in war. And the war isn't just out there. It's in here, right? So we cannot be surprised when we play Fortnite or Halo or Call of Duty and someone shoots you. Oh, I can't believe that happened. You're in war. you're going to get shot at. You're in war. There's a war inside of you. There's going to be things that you want to do that feel like it's a part of you, because it is, that's not from God. And if we would, man, we have this view of walking by the Spirit, you know. No, it's, and let's not, the conflict isn't, there's something wrong with you. That's what we think. Something's wrong with me. Well, yes and no. Yes, there's a part of you that wants something that's not from God. That makes you normal. A sinner saved. So yes, it's not, there's something wrong with you, but there's not something wrong with you that you're moving in the wrong direction. You're being led by the Spirit. You're walking by the Spirit out of lifestyles, habits, things that are pulling you back in. And it's going to feel like that. An internal conflict. Now, what's interesting about this, when you study this, we tend to jump on these impulse flesh things, right? Oh, that sexual immorality, that drunkenness. But most of these things are interpersonal. Envy, jealousy, divisions. What do you think divisions feels like? It feels like an offense. It feels like a justification of why they're the enemy. It feels like they're the problem. And then we mentally rehearse what happened. We create an academic reason why they're evil. And then we put our energy behind pushing them out. See, the flesh doesn't always feel like an impulse. It feels like a justifiable reaction. In fact, most of what Paul's hitting on here falls into that category. Now, we want to point out the easy things to shoot, right? Oh, yeah, I know what that feels like. But do we know what it feels like? It feels like a gossip here. It feels like a rant on social media. Divisions, jealousy, envy, enmities, dissension. Those aren't just flashes of desire. Those are feelings supported by mindsets and ideas that push us to attack people, when our ultimate attack is not people. It's interesting. Next thing we see here is that walking by the Spirit feels like, it's going to get better, guys, suffering. No, I lied. It feels like suffering. What did he say? If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It didn't say you wouldn't have the desires. It would say you have the desire, but if you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify it. Have you ever had a desire and then not get it? What does that feel like? Bad. Death. I have a desire right now. Every night at about 9:30 after my kids go to bed, that for that chocolate cake my wife made, and it is amazing. The whole thing, I didn't bring it to the office. You know, when you get extra cake, you bring, no, I put it in the fridge. And every night, man, I slice that thing. I have this desire, and I fall into it every time because it's still there. And as I go into that thing, right? So when we have the impulse and we're led by the Spirit, we have the desire, and then we don't fulfill it. That feels like death. In fact, Paul said as much. He says, put to death the misdeeds of the body. See, walking by the Spirit is not this cool breeze in the shade. Walking by the Spirit is an internal conflict with a knife in your hand, putting things to death inside of you. Did you hear that? Walking by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because you have a desire that is sinful means you're in the fight. Now let's walk by the Spirit and not gratify it. Something's not wrong with me other than I'm a sinner and I need the Holy Spirit to say no to it. And we get all discombobulated because we're having desires that we know are wrong. We're leaning into divisions and fighting one another. And in our job to walk by the Spirit is to put it to death. It's called suffering. There's a famous encounter, a man by the name of Aaron Rolston. You probably know his book. I think it came back in 2003, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. It was turned into a movie called 127 Hours. And this man fell in a canyon by himself and no one knew where he was. And his hand, his arm, got caught between a boulder and the canyon wall. And the whole, the whole story, I mean, spoiler alert, he loses his hand. But he has to come to a realization at some point that this desire, this thing is hurting, and the only way to survive is going to be to cut off his own hand. So he creates a tourniquet, he pulls out a multi-use tool, and he goes to work. What was at stake, though? His life. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, we know Jesus isn't talking about physically here. Why? Because all the disciples have their eyes and hands, right? So he's not speaking, he's speaking metaphorically. You're going to have something inside of you that feels a part of you. It's me. It's got to go if you're going to survive. Wow, that is very against the grain of what the culture would tell us. If it feels a part of me, it is me. And in a sense, they're right. It's your flesh and it needs to be mortified, put to death. That's not fair. I don't get to choose the cross that you have to bear. I know my impulses. I know my flesh. It's hard to put it to death, but no one asked me to choose that. This isn't who I am, because he's defining me. Walk by the Spirit feels like death, suffering. Number three, walking by the Spirit feels like faith and a contradiction. Listen to this, what Paul says. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Past tense. He told us to walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify. This is all in the present. All this present reality of the war within us and our mortification of the flesh. It's not talking about just physical. It's talking about anything in you that's opposed to God and his truth. And those who belong to Christ have crucified. This is past tense, y'all. Well, you said that the flesh is alive and it desires things. Yes, but you are in Christ. That's not who you are. Christ has defined you something different. That thing in Christ was put to death. So that when you step out of this life into the life to come, that will not be a part of who you are. That isn't you. It just feels like it. You have your flesh, your sin nature, the depravity of man, the result of the fall, all the theological terms. All that means is something inside of me, because of my lineage in sin, is not from God. It's not a part of me forever, but it is something I'm carrying with me right now. And in Christ, it's been put to death. That means when I feel an impulse or desire to backbite, to be jealous, to tear down my friends, to attack those who are in the community around me, I have to realize that that desire is not me. It's been crucified. That's old Blake. Old Blake would have taken that and run with it. But in Christ, it's been put to death. And by faith, I'm standing on what the scripture says as opposed to what I feel. And this is important. There's a real attack right now on this book. But it's not a new attack. Did y'all know that one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, with this presupposition, miracles can't be true. He's the son of the Enlightenment. I think, therefore I am. Empirical evidence, science. So when I come to this scripture, I know miracles can't be true. When he picks up his New Testament, what does he do? Every miracle that couldn't be true, he cuts out. You can go see that Bible in a museum in Washington, D.C. That's not new. Anything that's violating my thoughts and my will that doesn't align with what I think is true, I'm just going to move it out. And then he redefined the philosophy of the life of Jesus. That's 300 years old, y'all. It's not a new thing. Every culture is going to come to this book and choose something they don't like and try to yank it out. But then, when we come to the moment when we need God to stand by faith into this storm or this trial or this thing going inside of me, there's no confidence enough to stand. Because that could be something else that he didn't mean, and there's no confidence in this word. And now I'm on slippery sand. See, walking by the Spirit is faith, and it feels like a contradiction. And that's all of us, y'all. There's not one person in here called to walk with Christ by the Spirit that doesn't feel a living contradiction. Every day, a living contradiction. That's all, y'all. That's you. The living contradiction of walking with Jesus, that there's something inside of me that does not want God. There's something inside of me that does not want to submit to his authority. There's something inside of me that wants my way now. And we walk by the Spirit. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Walk by the Spirit. Sounds hard, Blake. Yeah. Just reading the Bible. Number four, walking by the Spirit feels like a group dance. Look at this. Y'all been to the wedding? You have a picture of that? There it is. It's time for the electric slide, y'all. Right? We define the dance space, right? Anywhere there's not a table and a chair. And we line up. And we dance. So here, the Greek here is different than when he said walk by the Spirit. He says, if you live by the Spirit, if you draw your life in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Completely different word than he started in verse 16, which is walk by the Spirit. It's a different word. What is he saying? Walking by the Spirit feels like a group dance. This word means lining up like soldiers and spacing out. That we're walking and we're in line, in formation, and we're following our leader. But what's beautiful about this is there's room, right? Y'all have seen, there's people who like, they know the moves to the electric slide, right? They follow them to the T. I don't know if I call it dancing, but I would call it like, check, you're out here, right? And you're following the moves, they get all the moves right. Right? Y'all been beside these people, right? I'm one of those people, right? I'm trying my best to make it look like fluid. And so here they're knocking the moves out. And then the guy beside you, man, they're, you know, like, oh, that's not in the dance, man. Like, the dance goes like this, you know? You know, but they're like, oh, yeah, you know, heel kick, boom. But they're dancing, and they're in their space. But see, we realize that this is a communal dance. This is what Paul's saying. If you live by the Spirit, you have to keep in step with the Spirit. That means I got to, out of the corner of my eye, make sure that twirly boy over here is not going to knock me out. A man who's like really, really concentrating, like he's not going to step on my feet, right? Because there's going to be a moment where he forgets, right? And then he, boom, he goes the wrong direction and we're all going down. So this is a communal event. To keep in step with the Spirit means to be cognizant of those around me, but I still got to follow the music. And it might look a little, I mean, some of y'all can dance, right? So it might not even look like the electric slide, but you're always in place. Oh man, look, that's good. I wish I could do that, but I'm going to just keep it tight, right? So all of us have to be keeping step with the Spirit, following the music of God's word, following the pull of the Spirit into his mission, into my identity in Christ, but aware of what God's doing around me so that we're doing it together. Not enmity, not jealousy, not fits of rage, not divisions, not backbiting and gossip, because that would be obviously a work of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you that not only have you given us your Spirit, but you've also given us your word to refer to if we're not sure, right? These things are not mutually exclusive. Father, I thank you that your Spirit affirms your word, and your word affirms your Spirit. And that is a walking contradiction to all of us. If you're in here this morning or at home, joining us online, and you're not right with God this morning, you've been living by the flesh, and you're ready to submit to Jesus, our loving King, if that's you this morning, or you're in this room, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you raised your hand this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me for going my own way. I submit to you, my King and my God. Fill me with your Spirit and put me in a community that I can dance to your beat with others. And we can do it together for your glory. In Jesus' name. My challenge to all of us this morning, so this is a group dance. We've got to do this together. As much as this is about you responding to the Spirit inside of you, you've got to do it in a community. That's just how Jesus defined it. Keep in step with the Spirit. Father, I pray that each one of us would walk by the Spirit, that each one of us would keep in step with the Spirit, that we would pray for those to our right and to our left who are walking their own walk with you. Help us to love one another, Lord, we come right now against dissension, division, enmity, jealousy, undercutting our brothers and our sisters. Help us walk in forgiveness and grace for your glory. Help us be people of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.